A lot of time spent this week on a measure aimed at bringing internet to rural Missouri.
Yes, we have a number of bills this year that are working to try to figure out some way to economically bring high-speed internet to rural Missouri. One of those bills is House Bill 1880. We were able to perfect that bill. It took a while because there were a number of concerns. The complications of that issue, there are some lawsuits pending. There were a lot of questions about how legislation would affect the existing lawsuits and whether it was appropriate to impact those, et cetera, and all those things have to be worked through on the floor. Eventually, I think the language was amended so that existing lawsuits will not necessarily be impacted by the bill. Going forward, there are some rules that didn't exist before that are now in place, and I think it'll make it much more predictable and therefore less risky for rural electric co-ops to decide whether or not to try to provide high-speed internet to their members, and for the members to know what is likely to happen if, in fact, someone does come in on behalf of their cooperative, begin to hang wires so that they can send out fiber and high-speed internet to the rural customers. I'm pleased that Senator Cunningham was able to work through that with some of those who had problems with some elements of the bill, and we were able to perfect it. It will open up some opportunities that had been hindered because we had some what might be called profiteering going on by some landowners and maybe some opportunistic options for trial attorneys to maybe make a few dollars on those co-op members. And hopefully this will help to see that that doesn't happen in the future.
Also on the floor this week, we've seen a lot of these over the years, but another virtual education bill.
I was really pleased with how the virtual education bill, House Bill 1606, how we were able to work through that. Senator Romine had that bill as the Senate sponsor. We spent quite a bit of time on there, lots and lots of amendments. That became what we would call the omnibus education bill. So everyone who had education bills out there of any sort. The title was very wide open, and so they were all attaching them. The bill came back from the House with lots of items on it, came from committee with a whole bunch of items stacked on it, and then a number of others were built onto the floor. I personally don't like omnibus bills, but I understand because of the way the system works why that happens. Everyone starts getting desperate near the end of the session that somehow their particular bill is going to die somewhere because of the lack of time, and so we look for places that it can be amended on to bills that are moving in the hopes that it survives conference committees. I'm sure 1606 will go to conference. It actually does quite a bit of good to offer virtual education opportunities to students in Missouri. And of course, that's especially helpful in rural districts like mine. Mine is mostly rural, and a lot of schools there, they just don't have the student body to support some specialty courses that maybe larger schools in Kansas City or St. Louis or Springfield or Columbia could afford. If they can give them access to virtual courses or even virtual school completely, then that can be a really helpful opportunity for parents. So I was pleased that there still is a considerable amount of gatekeeping by the local school boards, but there's also an appeal process. So if parents believe that the motivation for denying access to a virtual course or virtual school in total is motivated by anything other than the best interest of the students, they can challenge it. That challenge can go all the way to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education for final resolution if necessary. So this is a big step, and it's a big opportunity for parents to tailor the education to their child and to their child's special needs.
Those were House bills, and there was another Senate bill that saw a third read in the Senate, and that relates to the merit system for public employees in Missouri.
That's right. Senate Bill 1007. Senator Kehoe has worked very hard in the interim and then throughout the session to try to get that bill to the point where we could pass it. It only affects about half, maybe a little less than half of state employees because the others are already on a basically hire-at-will system. They're already on a system that measures how well they're doing their job, not just how long they've been at it. What 1007 did was, for all practical purposes, move state employees, most other state employees, to that same kind of system where their job, their promotions, their assessment, their evaluations are based on how well, how effectively they're serving their constituents in Missouri and doing the jobs that they've been hired to do. I was pleased to support that bill. There was opposition. I think the opposition is because of misunderstanding exactly how this works out. And certainly there's always the concern that in a public arena that politics will take precedent over good hiring-firing policy. That's not an illegitimate fear. We just would like to think that it doesn't happen and that when it does happen that it can be stopped. But what this will do is I think it benefits the people of Missouri, the taxpayers, who really do want their taxpayer dollars to hire the very best person for the job and to promote and pay more to those people who do the best jobs. And so Senate Bill 1007, I think, will have that impact on Missouri, and I think we're going to be pleased that we passed it.
In this case, in committee, was a bill relating to organ donation.
We heard this week a bill by Representative Steve Cookson. He's in an unusual situation. He's actually waiting for, I believe it's a liver transplant. He has cancer of the liver, and if he doesn't get the transplant, then there's a pretty definitive timeline of how much life he has left. He looks great right now. He did a great job presenting the bill. Lots of advocacy there to talk about the importance of organ and tissue donating, and also about the reluctance of people to do it because of a lack of information. And the bill would mandate that a certain amount of classroom time be given to educating students about organ donating. I have some problems. Some of the other committee members have some problems with those mandates in terms of classroom time. So we're actually working on a different approach to it that would maybe put that onus on the school board itself, not only to be trained, but then to decide whether or not, as a school board, elected members from their local communities felt like it was appropriate to introduce a clearer understanding of organ donating to the students, and at what age level that would be appropriate, and et cetera. Because by the time a young person gets to where they're going to have their own driver's license, that's one of the questions they'll be asked. Do you want to be an organ donor? Many times, because of lack of information, they don't necessarily make a decision that ultimately they wish they had made. And we had people there promoting the donation of organs who had lost children and were able to donate organs because they were finally educated about it. And it was a good hearing. It was very informational. I think it is good information if the school boards can hear it and can make a decision. I don't really support mandating it in the classroom, but I support giving that option to a school board.